Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome to another episode of Happy Mum, Happy Baby, the podcast. Today's guest, well, she's well known, very well known by millions as a vlogger. I was going to say vlogger. You're not a vlogger.
I'm a vlogger. That'd be fine.
You'll be a vlogger. And a Sunday Times best-selling author. It's Louise Penman.
Thank you very much. Hi. Giovanna Fletcher, what an intro.
Well, I like to say it to everyone I know, you know. I just give them a big, you know,
thank
Marcus.
Thank you. I'd quite like to have someone just walk around with me, and then when I enter rooms, someone does that. You know, like in fairy tales when they have like a town crier that's like, hey, hey, hey. I'd like that.
It's Louise Penman!
With all the accolades, so. Nice.
I had the X Factor voiceover man once do my name.
Did you?
Yeah. I listened to it constantly.
Did you make it like your ringtone or something?
No, but I do think that there's something about walking into a room and having, it's Giovanna Fletcher!
Yes, I only remember Rachel Adedeji.
So true.
Where is she now? Get her on.
I don't know if she's a mum, I don't know. But you are a mum.
Yes,
you
are a mum. I am.
To two little girls.
Yes.
How old are they now?
Darcy is 7 years and Pearl is 7 months.
That's nice and easy.
Yeah, that's really nice to remember. Soon it's obviously going to be 8 months, and that's going to be a tricky one. but they're at very different ages. And I have to say, I'm really glad that I had a big gap. But it is hard in the sense that you really do have two children. Mm. And what I mean is, when you have children quite close together, so let's say you've got a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old, you're making one toddler-friendly dinner on plastic plates and going to soft play. But when you've got a 7-year-old and a baby, you really are doing two very different things all the time. So I do feel like I'm a mum of two very much.
And it's like pressing restart, I imagine. Like what?
Yeah. You know. Because I'd forgotten.
Yeah.
Because I didn't think I was going to have more children. I had, not everyone knows, I had Darcy when I was 25, or just turned 25, 26, with my then husband. And then, unfortunately, got divorced and thought, well, that will be the end of children for me. I'm very satisfied. I'm really happy with being a mum of one. And then I met someone else and he was like, so, maybe a baby? I was like, oh, maybe.
Where's Bethlehem from?
So maybe a baby.
Maybe a baby.
It's from Bristol.
That was your Bristol accent. I like it.
And then we had the discussion. And I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm up for it. Let's put that on the table at some point. Well, 4 hours later, I was pregnant. So... So there we go.
Okay, so you did more than discuss it, essentially.
We discussed it first.
Yeah.
And then I think had some dinner. And then the rest.
Amazing.
But it wasn't like... So I say she was planned, but not super planned.
Right, okay.
She was a very happy, newly planned surprise.
So hold on. Had you said, yes, let's have a baby?
Yes.
And then that afternoon gone, oh, I'm a bit late.
No. I said, yes, let's have a baby. And then thought, oh, you know, we won't try straight away. It will take ages because I'm all those things. I'm over 30. I'm overweight. All the things that you would think make it a bit harder. I thought it would take ages.
Yeah.
And then sort of 3 weeks later, I was like, hang on a minute. I was on, this is very glamorous. I was on a photo shoot for Blogosphere magazine.
That is very glamorous.
Yeah, I was the cover. It was the most glamorous day of my life.
Yeah.
And I was with Charlotte, who's out there now, who I'm waving at her, but she doesn't.
She's through that.
She's through there. She's somewhere. And I said, oh, lol, I'm a bit late. Imagine if I'm pregnant. And then as soon as I said it, I thought, oh my God, I actually might be. And I went home and did a pregnancy test. I was like, well, there we are then. With child, mit bebe.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it was. I'm really, really glad it happened that way. At first, I was a bit like, ugh, bit soon. But, you know, babies are a blessing.
Well, and they happen when they happen, you know. And I do think that, you know, having been someone who desperately was trying for months and months, and, you know, it's so nice when it just happens.
I think you are so right from knowing people that have tried. My dear friend Claire tried for years for her baby, who she called Hope, which I thought was very poetic. And she's trying again. And seeing her struggle stopped me from going, oh my God, it's too soon. What am I going to do? Immediately, I was like, how lucky I am, rather than, gosh, this is soon. It was just, what a blessing that is and how lucky I am. So there was never a moment where I thought, oh no, oh God.
No. Well, I think with my third, so with this pregnancy, I did we knew that we were going to have one, but again, it came as a surprise when it actually happened.
Yeah.
And I spent the night crying. But actually, then I was on Instagram looking at posts from mothers who have lost babies and stuff. Mm-hmm. I just thought, this is a blessing. Put yourself together.
I think you make it work, don't you?
Yeah.
If we planned everything, as someone once said to me, if you wait for the right time, there'll never be the right time.
No.
I think if you're like, well, I'm going to wait till the house is just so and, you know, we're this financially secure and wait till this event, so you can't. Babies just come when they come and you make it work.
Yeah, it's so true. So how did you tell Liam?
Well, it's a funny story.
Is it?
Would you believe? So I had done a pregnancy test at home because I thought he was at work. So he works late nights sometimes. Mm-hmm. He works in the emergency services, so he does shifts. And I had thought, surely not. Because we've all done that. We were like, oh, I'm 3 days late. I'll do a pregnancy test. Oh, it's negative.
Yeah.
Not to worry. So I did one at home and it was positive. And I was like, oh no, Liam's not here to tell him. And Liam, has wanted a baby forever. He didn't have one before me. So this is his first baby and he's always wanted children. And so I was like, oh, he's going to be so happy. I knew he'd just be over the moon. So I thought, I'm going to just have to pretend that I don't know. So I texted him and said, I'm a bit late. Can you please bring a pregnancy test home from work?
Yeah.
And I'll wait up for you. Not saying, and I've already done one and I'm pregnant. So he did. And I was like, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do the test and then I'm going to hand it to him and ask him to reveal it so he can have that moment of you're pregnant.
Yeah.
So I did the test, handed it to him. I was like, let's face it down. Don't look. You turn it over in 3 minutes, knowing this is going to be such a beautiful moment for him. He turned it over. And the silly what's it?
Is there an error sign?
Didn't know how to read it. Went, oh, it's negative.
Oh, he didn't know how to read it.
And I said, is it? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, thinking, oh my God, was the first one mass confusion?
Yeah.
At midnight on a Wednesday night.
What do I do now?
Yeah. So I looked at it and I was like, and it did. It was the faintest sign. Only a woman who thinks she might be pregnant would see that line. You know, when you are really looking. And I was like, oh, but I am pregnant.
Here's what I did earlier.
Here's what I did earlier. He was like, what?
See, I can't do the lines. I couldn't handle the whole, am I? Am I not?
I'm just a digital one.
Pregnant, not pregnant.
Yeah,
done.
Well, I will blame him for not buying the pricey one. So that's how I told him. But if I have another baby, I'm going to think up like a really elaborate, exciting way to tell him.
I like that.
Yeah.
And then what was your pregnancy like and how did the pregnancies compare?
Oh, Darcy's pregnancy was very easy.
Really?
Yes. I fell pregnant and I think I was sick once, felt a bit nauseous, felt a bit tired. That was it. Literally nothing else to report. A few stretch marks and that's it. Pearl, and I thought, I was like, oh, well, Pearl's will be the same. Of course it will. It was not. I was so tired, like bone tired. Like, I don't know how you are working so much. Every time I see on Instagram that you're like somewhere else, I'm like, that woman is, I don't know what you're doing, but I am amazed by you. I just felt so tired. And actually, my mood was really affected. I think I had a touch of prenatal depression, mm-hmm. although I never went to the doctors, which is so silly because you read so much about it's perfectly okay to talk about it. Yeah. But I had got into my head that if I do that, they'll put me on some sort of list. I got really paranoid about it and I was having awful dreams. And I was really thinking that terrible things were going to happen to Darcy. And I really, really struggled. And it was my friend Emma, you know her actually, Brummy Mummy of Two,
oh, yeah.
who said, Bab, because she says Bab a lot.
Yeah.
You need to talk to someone about this because I don't think you're right. And I sort of half mentioned it to my midwife really loosely. Mm. And then one day we were at the park with Liam and Darcy and she was off playing and it must have been autumn because there were conkers everywhere and I just had the biggest cry and not like, oh, I've had a bit of a cry, like heaving, sobbing, telling him how awful I felt. And from then on, each day got a little bit better, but I think I had to sort of almost break.
Was there
break.
Anything that day that was the trigger or was it, had it just been building and building?
It had just been building and I just couldn't carry on. I was just so sad. And I think it's because normally taking Darcy to the park and collecting conkers would be like a really happy thing.
Yeah.
But I was just said, I just can't, I'm just not enjoying anything. I'm just so flat, like the fizz has gone from my life. And I thought I'll never feel the same. And I wasn't looking forward to having the baby. I was just sort of like, oh, this is my life now. Mm. And I was also so worried that I would have postnatal depression because with Darcy I had PTSD
right.
from birth trauma. And I was so worried and anxious that that would happen, but I had a very different birth experience and it was almost like as soon as she was out all those hormones sort of flushed out and I felt myself again and I'm so thankful that I'm back. But pregnancy I think is a rough road and I think we just sort of go, oh, you look blooming, you're lovely big bump, but we don't appreciate just how much of a toil it is, like mind, body and soul on a woman.
And it's interesting.
Kudos, I'm saying this to a pregnant woman now, like, oh God.
No, but there are those times though where, you know, you feel yourself feeling heavier, feeling less able to do mm-hmm. stuff, everything hurts.
Yeah.
And it's not surprising that it seeps into your mental health as well. And I think when it comes to maternal mental health, we've started talking about it, but I don't think we've started talking about it enough in pregnancy.
No, I had never heard of prenatal depression. I'd heard of postnatal depression. And it wasn't until someone said, maybe you're depressed. And I said, no, I'm not really a depressed person. I'm always a pretty up person. And they were like, and it was Emma that was like, you know, maybe. Just something to consider.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah.
Did you feel better as soon as you actually spoke about it?
Yes. As soon as someone said, I think it's this. And it's not just, because I felt like I was just losing my mind a bit, just losing touch of everything.
Mm.
And that, like, life was slipping away. It sounds so dramatic now that I'm laughing, but at the time, it didn't feel dramatic. It felt very real. And at a time when there's so much pressure to be so happy that you're pregnant. Oh,
you're so excited.
You're so excited. Yeah. You're all set, bundle of joy. Yeah. Oh, the pitter-patter of tiny feet. And I was like, I'm not ready for that. It wasn't really that I was scared of having the baby. It was scared how I'd feel about having her. So I was excited that Pearl was going to be existing, but I was scared for how I would react to her. So when I was like, oh, it's so exciting, I thought, I'm not excited. I'm just getting bigger and less mobile and doing less work. And I love my work. So doing less of it was just upsetting.
Mm.
It was a bit grey and miserable, actually. I'm really not painting like a glowing
No, but I think it's important because I think there's going to be so many people who feel that and feel like, oh, am I failing already as a mum?
Yes.
And you're not.
You are not, and it does get better, and there's so much help available, and there's so much you can do for yourself that I just wasn't aware of. So hypnobirthing just made all the difference. I think that just was a game changer for me.
If you know that you had post-traumatic stress disorder from the birth with Darcy, was that a factor in this, looming over your head sort of thing, what you're facing?
I was a mess. So I, thankfully, don't suffer from panic attacks, but I did then because I was so panicked about giving birth again. I envisaged screaming in a big sterile room with strangers because that's what it was with Darcy. And then when my midwife said, well, what about home birth? I was like, no, they're so dangerous. I can't have a home birth. But I just said that because people say that. And then when I spoke to Siobhan Miller from the Positive Birth Company, she was like, well, let's look into the dangers of it. And when you actually dig a bit deeper and look at everything, it's not what you think it is.
Mm.
And I ended up having a home birth in my home, obviously, where I feel safe and comfortable with midwives that I know and felt happy with, and I was in control. And it was just, when I was pregnant, when people said you can have a beautiful birth experience, I'd be like, yes, okay, I don't know what you're on, but no, I can't. But I am now one of those people, and it was just wonderful. And I had her at 10:05, and by 10:30 I was on my sofa with a glass of Moët and a chocolate biscuit.
Oh, you paint such a pretty picture.
It was amazing. And also sitting on a giant maternity pad. Very lucky. Yeah.
An even prettier picture.
Yummy.
I don't think there is that thing, though. For me, I think when I had Buzz, I literally felt like I'd taken every single drug under the sun.
Yeah.
Like my body and my mind had just, like, it just went somewhere completely different because of
hypnobirthing. And you weren't on drugs, you did hypnobirthing?
No, did hypnobirthing both
times.
Isn't
it crazy? Because Liam said you were like, you were spaced out. And I was like, I felt like I was. Well, I hallucinated that I was in Courchevel going skiing with my friend Maddie.
That's amazing.
I fell asleep at 9 centimetres.
Did you?
Well, I was very tired.
Yeah.
And I had done all that breathing and I was so, like, zoned out, that I was like, I'm just going to shut my eyes. And I just imagine, I was holding cold flannels to squeeze on. Hypnobirthing doesn't take away the pain.
Yeah.
It still hurts, but having to, I can compare a hospitalised, medicalised birth and a non-intervention home birth. The home birth hurt less.
Do you think part of it is because you're less scared? You're aware, but in a very different way?
You just, your body is physically relaxed, so your muscles are relaxed and you're not tensing and creating that, like, hard barriers for your body to, like, work through. You're just letting everything happen and just breathing the baby out, which sounds so, I'm trying to think of a polite word, just sounds so hippie, doesn't it?
But it does.
It does work.
Yeah.
You're nodding because you've done it. You're like, I know. How do you feel about this? Do you feel fear or do you feel like I'm ready to do this?
Do you know what? I felt fear with Buddy. Because it had gone so well with Buzz.
Yeah.
Because I just thought, oh, was it a fluke? You know, I did hit it, but, you know, is it just that one time and now this is going to go completely different? But, I mean, he was so quick.
Was he? How quick was he?
He was expelled from my body. So I literally got to hospital at 1:15. He arrived at 20:20.
Oh, my God.
Literally, I had these five massive, like, I want to say, like, waves, like constant waves going down my tummy. You can't see on the podcast, but I'm doing massive
hands. She's waving at the bump. Yeah.
And within those five, he had worked his way out.
That was incredible.
Yeah.
Wow. And is now, as a child, is he like a speedy, energetic child?
Yes, he is. Very calm at first. Very calm. Which always makes me, like, chuckle a little bit when people describe their baby as really chilled and calm. Because I'm like, yeah, Buddy was that. And now he is.
Just you wait.
Full of energy and life. And he's an adventurer, an explorer.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah.
That's so nice. My Darcy is very reserved and very relaxed, and she was a chilled baby and a chilled toddler and a chilled child.
Yeah,
she's just quite happy to sit back and watch the world go by.
Aww.
Like, she didn't crawl, but just one day at about 15 months, quite late, she walked. But for 15 months, she just sat.
She was just observing.
Yeah, she's just like, I'll wait for you to move me. She's cleverly lazy. Mm. Yeah, she's like, why am I going to do anything myself when you'll do it for me? And Pearl is the opposite kind of baby. Like, she always wants to get down off my lap. She can't crawl yet, but she's, like, doing that froggy swimming where she's desperate to. She wants to touch everything. She gets excited about cats and dogs being in the room.
Aww.
She wants to eat all the time. And Darcy, like, ate like a sparrow. You could give her, like, a crumb of food. She'd be like, that's all I want. And Pearl's just the opposite. So I've got a lot on my hands to Pearl, I think, when she starts getting mobile. I'm quite scared.
Do you find yourself comparing the two?
Yeah, definitely. And I look at pictures of them as well a lot. I think because they're half sisters, because they have different fathers, I am, like, really desperate for them to be similar.
Yeah.
Because I really want them to, because I have a half sister who feels like my full
sister.
You're
very, very close to as well. Yeah.
I never, ever think you are half of my family. Yeah. It's just like, you are my sister.
Yeah.
And I really want Darcy and Pearl to feel that way. So I do a lot to try and bond them together, but they're pretty ambivalent to each other at the moment. Like, Darcy will just step over Pearl to get somewhere. She's like, oh, there she is. And Pearl just watches her. But I've given them both the same middle name.
Aww.
Because they have separate different surnames. So I thought, and also, if they get married and take on their husband's name, they'll always still have the same middle, yeah. So we've got
lovely.
Darcy Jane and Pearl Jane, DJ and PJ.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. And I've got my next baby names, boy and girl.
So are there going to be more?
never say never.
Yeah.
I'm not looking to be pregnant right now.
Yeah.
But
time is ahead of us. It's fine.
Yeah, yeah. I'm 33, so I'm conscious of age, but I think there's room for one more.
One of my best mates, Emma Willis, gave birth at 40. So, you know.
I've got time for loads then.
Loads of time. Yeah. Loads of people do. I think it's that thing now, isn't it? I've heard of a lot of people saying by the time they want to have another baby when they're 40 because they feel like they'll be like just at a point where they're able to enjoy it a lot more.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I'm saying yes a lot and nodding a lot. So agree so fully. I'm enjoying motherhood this time round much more than the first time around. Not to say I prefer or love Pearl more, but my lifestyle is different now and I find life easier now with Pearl than with Darcy. Also had PTSD with Darcy, so that was like walking through a fog all the time, but I'm in a much happier phase of life, so I'm in a sweet season at the moment.
I imagine as well, having postnatal stress disorder and then prenatal, you know, depression, like, you must have felt like it was going to be continual.
Well, there was a gap. So with Darcy, I had her in 2011 and the PTSD, I think, kicked in that day. Like, I don't remember the birth was so traumatic and I just wasn't expecting it. And nobody will ever say to you, oh, yes, it lingers. Does people go, oh, you forget the pain, you'll have another one. Or they'll say things like, well, it's all worth it, wasn't it? Because she's here safely. And I think, but I was secretly thinking, I don't know that that was worth it. Like, yeah. I once said to a friend when Darcy was 2, I said, now it was worth it. And and I felt so guilty for saying that, because up until then, it didn't feel worth it, which feels like a horrible thing to say, doesn't it? Like, my baby was not worth that trauma. That sounds, I'm sure there's people going to be listening thinking, what a horrible thing to say.
I'm sure there's going to be people listening going, I know exactly what you mean.
But it took, when she was 2, I was like, yes. Now I feel like I've climbed out of this and you are worth it and I would do anything. I would do it again for you. But when people say, oh, the most important thing is that baby's out safely, it's like, but I'm important too. My body and my mind are important. And it's really, so I dealt with that by basically thinking, I just won't have more.
Right.
So that was the thing that caused me the trauma. I won't have that trauma again. I will not have more children. And that will do. And then I met Liam and I had forgotten it because I did just push it down that much, and as soon as I fell pregnant I remembered it again. I was like, oh my god, it's happening again and I don't know what to do. So I just put a lot of things in place to eliminate as much trauma as possible. So initially I booked in for an elective C-section,
right?
Because I was like, I can control that, I'll just have that done. And then I went 180 and had my peaceful home birth. But for me, it was the same thing. It was about control. I could control that. I could control where I was, who was seeing me with my legs splayed open, who was there, who was going to stand where, like where Liam was going to be. I didn't want him looking at the business end. So it really was quite controlling, and that really soothed me.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you reckon it was quite healing in a way for everything that had come
healing
before?
Yes, I feel like that has healed it, because now I know that what happened with Darcy was unusual. I also booked in for an NHS Meet the Matron session, which anybody can do in the UK. I don't know if it's elsewhere, for free. And what you have to do is speak to your midwife and say, I would like a Meet the Matron session. It doesn't matter how long ago your birth was. And you can go to the maternity unit, or if you have your baby there, and they will go through your notes and talk through what happened. Because for those that have a very medicalised drug used birth, you're a bit spaced out. You don't know what happened. It's hard to piece it all together. I was just off my face. So going through that and having her run through everything was really distressing but very cathartic.
Really.
And she said this was a hard, that was rough.
What point did you have this?
20 weeks pregnant with Pearl.
Really?
And having her validate that was rough. You had a rough going there. Made me go, oh, it's not just me. Because everybody else said, oh, but you had a natural birth. She's out healthy. Oh, all that matters is she's healthy and you got her out. It's like, yeah, but that's not all that matters. And having the matron, a wonderful woman called Paula, say, yes, that was rough going, almost was such a huge step forward. Because I was like, oh, it's not me just being selfish or a baby or, you know, not loving my baby enough. You have confirmed that for me.
Yeah.
And then we went through what it was about those things that really upset me and what we could do to not have those again, and made peace with it. And it was just beautiful.
And having experienced such a good birth now,
yeah,
are you conscious of how you talk about it?
Yes. I'm such an advocate for positive, calm, not control, but you in control births. And also, I never want to be that woman that says to a pregnant woman, I know we've just been talking about it, like, oh, it was awful, I had an awful time. But I used to be.
Yeah.
I think because you want to have your story. But now I love that my story, when people are pregnant, I'm like, oh, you know, consider a home birth. I had a lovely, it was really calm, really relaxed. And I'm sorry to say this now, you're pregnant, but I always omit like the bit where I was sick in a bowl because a contraction was so strong, I was sick and all those things. And I think you've got to be careful with pregnant women. Like, they're about to go through it. You wouldn't say to somebody who was about to go on like a mountain trek, oh, I nearly died. You know, I ripped my leg off and I was sick every day. Oh, it was the worst thing ever. You go, oh, good luck.
Yeah.
Let me sponsor you. You're going to do so well. So I think we need to treat pregnant women like that.
Well, Davina McCall, when she came on, she said the same thing. She has an urge. She goes over to pregnant women when she sees them and says, oh my God, you look amazing. And then tells them about her positive births.
Yeah.
Because she knows that, well, we all know that all we ever hear are the bad ones.
Yes, and everyone talks about it. And everyone also, strangers feel so free and comfortable to talk about your vagina, don't they?
Very true.
Like, we're talking about my vagina here. I wouldn't go up to, you know, a man and be like, how's your penis? Oh, gosh, it's also something you're going to do a big wee. Like, you just wouldn't talk about it, would you? So why are we all like, oh, let's all comment on pregnant women. Let me comment on your uterus. Let me comment on...
On bodies in general.
Oh, my God.
I feel like it's so that as soon as you're pregnant, it's like anyone can comment.
They
why?
I have no idea. I would never, ever go up to someone and say, oh, gosh, your breasts are looking a bit bigger. Are you ovulating? But you go, oh, yeah. I had a friend that kept saying to me, and I honestly wanted to hit her. She kept saying, oh, she's low today. Oh, she's dropped. And I used to just smile at her through clenched teeth because, one, I knew she had it because my midwife had told me. But also, I was like, why are you talking about whether my baby's head is close to my vagina, please? I would never say, oh, you look like you need a big poo, it's dropped. It's just absurd when you think about it like that, isn't it? So I always say to pregnant women, you look lovely. Or I just don't say anything about it at all. Because when you're pregnant, obviously, everybody wants to tell you you're pregnant. You're like, I know.
Yeah.
I think about this all the time.
Well, there's that Smack the Pony sketch. Do you ever watch Smack the Pony?
I haven't watched Smack the Pony, but I used to absolutely love it.
Oh, it was so good. So there's one where she's pregnant and someone says, oh, my God, when are you due? And she looks down and sees a bump and is like, oh, what is this? Just reminds me of that. But all I've had this pregnancy, actually not in the last few weeks, but I think around 30 weeks, it got me quite down, actually, because all I had was, oh, my God, you're so big.
Yes.
Bagger off.
I was, what's it called? Fat shamed. It was in the paper.
Really?
Yeah. The paper ran a story about me being body shamed because people commenting, you've put on so much weight. That's not just baby weight. You've overeaten. That's not good for the baby. I was like, you don't know what I'm eating. Yeah. You don't know.
I had the same actually on some of Tom's videos.
Yeah. Why? It's like, oh, because it's all gone to your card. You've really gained so much. You're never going to be able to get that off. It's like, just hang on a second. You don't know what I'm eating.
Yep.
Also, it's not your baby.
Yeah.
If I want to have like 8,000 McDonald's a day, it's actually not your business. I'm not having 8,000 McDonald's, just 7,000. You know, people do, don't they? Like, oh, you've got so big. And
But your body you have to let your body do what it does.
I am growing a new life, human. Thank you very much.
Mm.
So, yeah, people are real dicks sometimes, aren't they? Can we say dicks on this?
No, we just put an explicit next to it. It's fine.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Yeah, I think we've said Willy. Well, I think
we said penis and vagina, haven't we?
Yeah, I think this might have an explicit next to it.
Oh, sorry. And I've been saving my big swears. I've been keeping them in.
Have you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh, okay.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
How do you feel about your body now that it's given you two girls?
Oh, that is a really hard question because my first go-to is go, I feel great. I'm so happy and so grateful. I'm really pleased with my body because I'm always such a champion of body positivity.
Yep.
But at the moment, I'm not actually feeling super positive. And I'm really watching what I eat at the moment, which isn't like me because I've always been quite curvy. I've always been a size 18. I don't bob up and down much. It's just size 18 and I definitely eat more calories than I burn. But I've reached a point where I was like, I've got really, for my comfort levels, big. So obviously I put on weight when I was pregnant and then my tummy feels quite wobbly, which I don't mind, but I've gone up a lot of sizes. So I have a pair of jeans that are a size 24.
Right.
And I would never look at a size 24 woman and think, gosh, you are big, you need to change. If she felt great in herself, I'd be like, you rock it. Good for you. You look fantastic. But for my, you know, when you just
it's all about your own comfort level.
Yeah. I'm just not in it at the moment. So most of my dresses at the moment are a size 20 and I'm not doing it on weight. I'd quite like to just be back in my old clothes. Yeah. One, because I felt confident and sexy and good like that. But also, I have so many nice clothes.
You've got
clothes.
A whole wardrobe.
Yeah. I was like, what am I going to do with these? I don't want to see these go. I want these back. So I'm really on a bit of a healthy eating plan. I've been doing it for about a month and it is slowly, I'm losing a bit of weight.
Yeah.
But I don't know how these people do it where they like drop half a stone in a week. I'm doing like 2 pounds a week.
But then I think the way that you're doing it is probably a bit more long lasting.
Yeah, definitely. You know? It's a much better way to do it. Mm-hmm. For me, I suppose if you want to lose quick weight, I don't know what the health implications of that are. Mm. This is the thing, I don't really know the science behind it, but I know that what I'm eating is much better than before.
Yeah.
Although last night I really thought very hard about a Domino's pizza. I really did. And I resisted.
Did you?
Yeah, Liam was like, why don't we have jacket potatoes with red pesto and cheese? That will feel a bit like a pizza. I was like,
very true.
Yeah, let's do that. So we had like a tiny jacket potato with like, I didn't even have cheese. I had like a little bit of Philadelphia spread on it.
I always find it a little bit tough when Tom encourages my healthy eating. And that takes me away from the take, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, oh, he agrees.
Yeah.
He agrees that I should be eating this jacket potato instead
sometimes
of the pizza.
You want them to be like, no, treat yourself.
But you know that's your own voice in your head, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Liam really likes sweet healthily, so he's actually
so
a great support.
Yeah.
They just enjoy it. I don't understand. Yeah. But then once a week, we do have like a takeaway of some sort.
Nice.
Like, I need to have something to live for. I can't be like this all the time. But the healthy eating plan that I'm doing allows for that.
But I just think that if you weren't to have that, then you'd be wanting it all the time.
Exactly. This is, I don't want to live a life lusting after a Chinese takeaway.
Yeah.
I want to just know that there's a Chinese takeaway on the horizon.
On a Saturday night, it's there.
Yeah, on a Saturday night or sometimes a Sunday night if I'm feeling crazy. Well, not both, one or the other. I know it's there and I'm actually enjoying it all the more.
Yeah.
Because now I'm not having junk every day. Mm-hmm. And I'm not having, like when I go out and about, I really like make conscious decisions rather than being like, oh, I'll just have a cheese and tuna melt with some crisps and a brownie and a fizzy drink. I'm like, let's like make a better choice.
Yeah.
So wish me luck that I can stick at it. I never manage to stick at things. So
good luck.
Yeah, thank
you. But I do think that, you know, you saying that you don't feel like it's very body positive to kind of, I think it is. I think it is body positive.
It's really
very hard to say.
Body positive.
It's body positive to say, I don't feel great right now.
Yeah.
Because you can't, it's like that whole excited about pregnancy thing. Are you excited about pregnancy the whole way whole time? Are you excited about your wedding the whole lead up?
You're not excited about anything every day for almost a year, are you?
No.
That would be really hard to maintain that level of buzz, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And I have moments where I feel absolutely amazing and then I'll be going on holiday and looking at my wardrobe and just weep because nothing fits me.
Oh, it's so disheartening, isn't it? I remember thinking, I'm just wearing maxi dresses all the time. And I was really excited to wear real clothes again. I feel nice now wearing real clothes.
Yeah.
Not that maxi dresses aren't real clothes, but you know what I mean. I
think is it Molly Forbes on YouTube who'd posted the Bikini Ready video?
Yes,
I howled so much at that. Just because we're told every year, are you bikini ready? Are you bikini ready?
Oh, yeah, she was like, I've got a bikini on.
And this is my body.
And this is my body. I'm ready.
I just love that. And I think, you know, but then there was a post the other day that I saw from someone saying, well, I just like a swimsuit. Doesn't mean that I don't like my body. I just like a swimsuit.
Just like a swimsuit. I think you're so right about body positivity is...
You can say that so well.
Body positivity. Yeah, there's lots of things I can't say well, though.
Well, it's okay.
The plural of office really
offices.
Yeah, very much struggle. I'm going to try it. I end up with lots of sisters at the end.
At least you're not like Benedict Cumberbatch saying penguins. Did you see that on Graham Norton?
Can he not say penguins?
He says penguins completely wrong.
How does he say it?
Oh, I can't.
How can you say penguin wrong? It's penguin.
I don't know. I don't know how he's got through life saying penguin. He did like a nature documentary.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love
You've
that
got,
so much.
Oh, we have to search
I'll Google
it.
Yeah, I will do. I had someone comment because I did an ASOS haul recently and I said in it, I'm not feeling too great about myself.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to try and sort of eat a bit better and exercise. And someone said, oh, but are you worried that you have been a champion for body positivity so long that now people think you were faking it? And I said, no. Because I think to be positive about your body, you have to love your body. And for me right now, part of loving my body isn't allowing myself just to sort of gorge on all the best foods that probably aren't the best foods, but in my mind are.
Yeah, and the tasty ones.
Yeah, like loving myself and being positive about my body right now is treating it like this and sort of getting back to a place where I felt happy and not looking to be a Victoria's Secret catwalk model, although I imagine by Christmas... I bloody will be.
You will be there.
I will be. I'll be there in a bikini, with a thigh gap, 8 thigh gaps. In fact, there'll just be a whole leg gap. It'd be amazing.
It'd be incredible.
Right now, I talk a lot about chub rub shorts.
Oh. Well, I'm loving them. I wear them in pregnancy. They're pregnancy ones as well.
What?
They look a bit like Spanx because obviously they go over the bump.
Yeah.
But they don't hold you. They just stop the chafe.
Oh, so good. This is the first year that I've really looked into chafe solutions.
Yeah.
And chub rub shorts that they call comfort shorts, but I call them, let's call a spade a spade. They're like fatty thigh shorts. Brilliant. Love them.
They're so good though.
They are. You just pop them on.
It stops you getting so hot in the summer, doesn't it? It's interesting. When I started training for Omar, because I did a trek last year.
I know.
Well, I was really conscious about how I shared it.
Yeah,
I know. It's amazing.
How you shared what? The trek?
How I shared my training. Because I didn't want it to suddenly feel like... Because I think I know that a lot of personal trainers are like, and this is the aftershot. And I was like, no. Where, like, if you let's post what I look like now, this is me now, and I love me now, but I need to get up that mountain, so I need to get me fit. It's not about getting me skinny and changing my body.
It's about getting you strong.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm super sensitive about that sort of thing. I didn't look at it once and think, oh, gee, you've changed. I got it. I was like, oh, you're exercising because you're like climbing an actual mountain.
Yeah.
How was that?
It was amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Was it?
I'm doing it again next year, Louise.
Are you?
Yeah.
Wow. Of course you are.
Yeah,
of course
yeah.
I'm surprised you're not doing it.
I'm now.
With the baby.
I'm a patron now for Copperfield and Ambassador for the Trek. So.
Does that mean when they said, we'd love you to be a patron for Copperfield, and you were like, I'd absolutely love to, they're like, so just sign here for the mountain trek?
No, at the end of the trek, I was like, I want to do more. So, we've got a big trip planned next year.
Tip my hat to you.
Well, you'll be coming with me.
I will not.
Let's talk about the work-life balance.
Yes.
Because I know that you're busy, you're very busy.
Yes.
And you're juggling a lot.
Well, not as much as you, I don't think, but yes.
But you have a seven-month-old.
Yes.
And a book baby.
And a book baby.
As well as a seven-year-old.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot going on.
Yes. I think that people think that vloggers, bloggers, social media people, authors don't do much. But as you know, there is so much more than the finished product. There's, for every thing I put out, I always want to say, like, you're just seeing 20% of my work. You're just seeing that last 20%, but there's 80% behind it that's gone into it. And when I had Darcy, that's when I just started Sprinkle of Glitter, and I managed it around her. And so when I was pregnant with Pearl, I thought, oh, well, I'll be able to do the same again. But what I didn't account for was I was writing one blog for about 35 readers back in 2011. And now it's all what it is now. It's like my tiny empire. And at first I tried to do it with, so Liam works, and I was like, oh, it'd be fine, I'll do it while she naps, I'll work around it. And I just couldn't. And it very quickly, like 2 months in, I was just so upset and so stressed all the time. I was like, I'm not enjoying anything. I'm not enjoying new motherhood. Yeah. I'm not enjoying work because I just can't do everything. And I was so desperate to do everything. So I hired a nanny, and a lot of people online seemed quite cross about this.
I messaged you the day because you put something on your private Facebook.
Yeah.
About it.
Yeah.
And one of your friends was, or someone that you know, was a little bit like, you should be taking it easy. This is your time. And I was
I remember this.
Like,
I can't. I remember because you were like, we work for ourselves.
Yeah.
People are like, aren't you on maternity leave? I was like, well, no.
Well, who's maternity leave?
Who's going to run
my
job while I'm on maternity leave? Who's going to pay me?
Yeah.
How? No, I'm not on maternity leave. I really do appreciate when people say you should be taking it easy. I get that because it is a time to take it easy.
Yeah.
But if you choose not to, and it's not because I felt like I couldn't, it's I chose not to because I love my work so much.
Mm-hmm.
I hired a nanny and it's revolutionized my life. She is wonderful. She comes 3 days, sometimes 4 days a week. And what it means is the hours that she's there, I basically just zone out and I work like a beast. I don't talk to anybody. I just get on with everything I need to do, tick everything off my list. And then when she goes, I'm mum. And at the weekends, I'm mum. And on her days off, I'm mum.
Yeah.
And I don't find like I'm juggling and balancing. So when I take Darcy out for a day, I'm not, oh, let me do, we're not going to Pret and I'm sitting on my phone doing my emails whilst she sort of just has her sandwich. I'm there. And I feel like it's such a better balance. And it might not work for everybody, but for us, having childcare is just the best thing. And I refuse to feel guilty about it when I've read people say, oh, you're a part-time mum. And I'm like,
pretty sure I'm a full-time mum.
Fairly sure I'm not, but sure. If people want to be negative about it, I just think you are wrong. Mm. Normally I'd be like, well, everyone's entitled to their opinion. I'm like, nope, you are wrong.
No, because that's a judgment against you of you and how you choose to run your life. And only you know how your life runs.
Yeah, it just makes life so much better. And I find when I have time with the children, they're getting all of me and we're enjoying it and we're doing nice things. And when I'm working, I'm relaxed and I'm getting through stuff and I'm achieving my goals and feeling better as a person. And then I'm a happy mum with happy babies.
Yeah,
oh, look what I did there.
I love how you did that. That was seamless. obviously, I'm touching on this because you've obviously written 2 books.
Yeah.
Following Robin Wilde.
Yes.
Who I absolutely love. I'm literally like chapters away from finishing the second book. And I'm absolutely loving it.
Oh, good.
I really am. And I'm like, I know how much work you've put into it and you can see it. And the personality that comes through in Robin is just brilliant. I actually said on the front cover, empowering. But I also said, I think somewhere, that I'd love Robin Wilde to be my best friend. But we meet her as a single mum who feels very judged.
Yes.
In the school gates and everything like that.
In every facet of life, she feels like people are judging her badly and she feels like she's doing a bad job.
Mm-hmm. And is there an element of, not you, but what you've experienced in there?
Absolutely. My most common question is, are you Robin Wilde? And I always, or is Robin Wilde me?
That's
and
why I worded it very differently.
Oh, very well, very well. And I always say, no, Robin Wilde isn't me, but I have absolutely written about what I know.
Yeah.
I know what it feels like to be a single mum, and I don't think many people plan to be a single parent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard, and you do feel more judged. So I definitely wrote about what I know, and I wrote about that mother-daughter bond. And the first book definitely is a lot more kind of pouring sort of bits of my emotions into her. So not bits of me, but just my emotions. And that was Wild About Me. And the second book, Wild About the Girl, you'll know this, your characters kind of take on a life of your own.
And well, it's the way very emotional, but in a very different way.
Yes. I wanted to put something, and I won't say what it is because I don't want to spoil it. I wanted to put something in there so serious and so taboo that needs to be talked about. And the book is a light-hearted comedy, but there is one of the most serious topics in there that I think that women just don't, and men just don't talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to talk about us not talking about it without spoiling it. But it was important to me because it is a life event and I wanted it reflected in my book because so many women's fiction books don't reflect a lot of the life events that I know of or experienced, and it was important to me.
Mm. I think you've done an amazing job.
Thank you. Trying really hard not to spoil it.
I know.
I'd also ask anyone listening, if you're commenting on anything, not to spoil it.
Yes.
As well. We're calling it The Thing. I've got I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about it, a Facebook group called Wild Readers, like wild with an E at the end, just for people to share good books and thoughts. Your books pop up in there a lot. You should join it. Just for lols. It's just nice. It's such a cozy... There's only about 5,000 people in there. And it's
only
just,
about.
Well, but you know what I mean.
In comparison to everything else you do. Yeah, okay.
It's like an intimate group. Yeah. And people review other books or just share books or sometimes take pictures of hauls of books and book memes, as I like to call memes.
I didn't say that word for a while because I had no idea how to say it.
I really enjoy to call it meme. It really upsets my sister. She's like, it's not meme. It's just like, I like to call the band Muse the Muse because it bothers her.
Nice.
And in that group, we're calling it The Thing, so as not to spoil it. But you should join the group because they put a lot of your books in there. Aww. Eve of Man is often popping up in there.
Oh, really?
Yes, people love it.
Good.
You should join it just so you can read people enjoying your
book. Then I might see something that I don't like and be like, oh, no.
No, it's a really positive group. People might say something constructive, but people don't put really negative stuff in there.
That's good. We have to move on to the three sentences.
Oh, okay, yep.
You picked up your pen, your poise, like you're going to make notes.
Fire away, how am I doing my three sentences?
You have to complete them. So being a mum means...
Oh God, I've got to complete them quickly, haven't I? Being a mum means having so much more love in your life than you thought you would ever be able to have. That's gorgeous. Really cheesy, but it's really true, isn't it?
Yeah.
Feel love-filled all the time. Even on the days when you think, how have I created such little beasts? Since becoming a mum, I have got really good at time management.
Well, you have to.
You've got no choice but to. They say, if you want something doing, ask a busy person. If you want something doing, ask a busy mum.
Yeah.
She's going to get that done. I don't get a lot of sleep, but I get things done.
Ditto. And lastly, I'm happy when...
Oh, I'm happy when there's cheese and carbs available. I am happy when we are all in the car. I really like when Liam and I are in the car and both the girls in the back and we're off on a little jaunt. We do a lot of day trips, like Blenheim Palace. And we live in Northampton, so everything's pretty central to us. And I really just love being off in the car because, like, oh, I'm excited for the day. No one's got upset or spilled anything or had an accident yet. Everyone's looking forward to it and we're all like all G'd up and cosy in the car. I like
that's
it
really
lot.
Lovely. I like that. Do you sing thing. While you're in the car?
Well, I like to, and I keep encouraging Liam to do duets with me, but he just seems really unkeen. Aww. And he's really good at the duet, and he's going to really be so annoyed for me sharing this. He's really good at Aladdin.
Oh, really?
He does Aladdin and I do Jasmine. And I often say, can I vlog it? And he's like, no.
Well, Tom turns the volume up on me.
Yeah, but Tom's an actual singer, though, so at least he will sing with you. Yeah,
I'm just going to drown you out a little bit and turn this up.
That's a bit rude, isn't it? Just because it's Tom Fletcher.
I mean... Who's
rude.
He?
Yeah. Who does he think he is?
Louise, thank you so much
thank
for coming
you.
On. Thank you. And good luck with the rest of the promo for Wild About the Girl.
Thanks very much. Thank
See you.
Later. Good luck with your baby.
Thank you. I've not popped yet. Woo, woo. Bye.
Bye.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift-giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.